Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, October the 28th. I am Bill Buckmaster. Our program, 12:04 each weekday during the noon hour to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the program so it's easy for you to hear the program at your desk or wherever. Buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com will get you there. And if you missed a portion of the program, our podcasts, thanks to the ace producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose usually gets the show up and the podcast running within about an hour of its conclusion on buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. All have our podcasts. This Monday, we begin, as we do each Monday, with our political face-off. Our team today, Vince Ribago and John Munger. Then at 30 past the hour, it's the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act, which 4 decades later is still very controversial. Then we will talk about the unrealized opportunity in trade and tourism with our neighbors south of the border. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. And as we close in on 3,000 friends of the Buckmaster Show, we're very proud of that. We invite you to join the group here as we get close to that goal, very close. Just go to Facebook and punch in my name, and that will get you to our Facebook page where we preview all the shows and other little goodies along the way. Time for the Monday political face-off. John Munger is here, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, and 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, Vince Ribago. Tucson attorney, Vince also a candidate in 2010 as a Democrat for Arizona Attorney General. The Buckmaster Show thanks the people at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing for sponsoring our Monday political face-off, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, how was the weekend?
Great weekend, always.
Wonderful weekend, and I might add, congratulate the University of Arizona. In 1887, today was the day they broke ground on the campus.
Oh, I thought you were going to say congratulations to the University
for the football win.
Yes,
that was good too.
The win at Colorado and Kareem Carey is unbelievable.
Amazing.
This guy is Kadeem. Number one.
Kadeem.
I am.
He's
so
our man.
Sorry. Yeah, he is the man.
Seems like a nice young man.
Number
too.
One rusher. In the country.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I guess the university is really helping promote him, and he'll be getting a lot of awards.
We had something unusual in the neighborhood last night. I was out for my nightly walk, and a sheriff's deputy comes up, drives along, and says, I just want to warn you, a mountain lion has been sighted in your neighborhood. And I said, that's new. So I thought, well, maybe I just tonight only cut the walk a little bit short. It's really weird, though, for the mountain lion. We are in kind of the central foothills, but I guess they can
get right down.
Yeah.
We've got bobcats all over the place. And
I'm glad you made it in, Bill.
Yeah. So mountain lion alert by the Buckmaster House. President Obama has thrown support behind the plan approved earlier this year by the U.S. Senate concerning immigration, and now that federal funding and the debt ceiling issues have been delayed until early next year, immigration reform is back on the front burner. The plan approved in the Senate, John and Vince, as you know, contain a variety of provisions ranging from bringing in more temporary workers and requirements for employers to verify the status of those they hire to a path to legal status for those already in the country illegally. And those requirements also, there's some border security in there, but when Governor Brewer talked about this last week, John Munger, she says that's not enough. She says the border is not secure yet.
Well, the border is not secure. No one would know better than the governor. Of course, the president endorses the Democratic Senate plan. The problem with the Democratic Senate plan is it legalizes the illegals immediately without actually securing the border first. And where people of my persuasion, what we would like to see is securing the border and then legalize. We need to get past this concept of path to citizenship. I have no problem at all if we legalize workers as long as they continue to work and have proof that they're working, but only after we first secure the border. I do agree that we need a work permit program, but we really don't need much more than those three things: secure the border, a work program, work permit program, and then you can legalize with fines, etc. As far as I'm concerned, you could legalize existing workers as long as they have proof that they're working and as long as they work. And when they're off work and not able to find a job, say, within 3 to 6 months, then they have to go back.
Vince, securing the border, though, it's almost a subjective term, isn't it?
Well, it is a subjective term. The reality is it's like setting the goalposts so far down the field that it really depends on what your definition of secure is. And so by doing that, they're using that as a way to obstruct a bipartisan bill. I think there was almost 70 votes, 68, I believe, was the number of votes that
both
came out of the U.S.
Senators
Senate.
From Arizona, McCain
Correct.
And Flake.
Correct. You have Republican Senator Jeff Flake. You have Republican Senator John McCain, two of the most prominent and sort of the voices that the Republicans have traditionally looked to on issues such as immigration. The reality is it is a bipartisan bill that's gone over to the House, and the House, just like they did with the debt ceiling and also with the budget, are essentially being obstructionist to getting things done that the American people want to get done. And so that's, you know, my perspective is that this is hopefully going to open up just I think it was either yesterday, but certainly no later than this morning. California Republican Jeff Denham has come out and actually signed on in the House of Representatives to a Democratic bill pushed by Representative Pelosi. Mm. And it is a bill that has everything that the Senate bill has, but instead of a unnecessary and misspent border splurge, actually sets metrics in terms of enforcement and says, look, when you this bill requires 90% enforcement. In other words, you have to show that you are apprehending at least 90% of those that are crossing unlawfully. And so I think that's a much better approach than just throwing money, throwing agents everywhere without any metrics to show that it's actually accomplishing anything in terms of security. So if we're going to have this security mentality that seems to keep pushing the debate all the time, let's put some metrics on it. And you'll see now that with this Republican congressman, which is, it's very unusual, as John I'm sure will agree, to have in this sort of divided Congress a Republican congressman
kind of breaking ranks
and jumping over.
I'm all for metrics, but there's never been any metrics before. You're never going to secure the border completely. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But if you had a metric that would be able to prove that the border was secured by 90%, which is harder to do than it sounds, to develop that metric, because we frankly don't know today how many people are coming across that border. So that would go a step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned. But that metric, the key to this, and your listeners need to watch for this, when does the legalization of the workers occur? Does it occur when the bill passes in hopes that we'll meet the metric? Or do we meet the metric first and then we get legalization? That's the key to this whole thing. And I haven't seen that particular bill, but I know what the Senate bill does. It gives it makes the workers lawful and legalizes them effectively immediately in hopes that we will secure the border later. That is not acceptable.
I couldn't disagree more with John. The reality is that we have, according to many accounts, something like 11 million people living in the shadows. If we're going to be serious about reforming the system so that these individuals can either apply lawfully or find out who should not be here and move forward with a system, whether it's for a worker plan that John mentioned or otherwise, we need to provide lawful status so that we can start figuring out what this, who's here. How are we going to do this? Who qualifies? Let's bring those people out of the shadows. Otherwise, what John is proposing, in my view, is going to create a permanent sort of two-tier class of residents, those that are still going to be living in the shadows because they are not being invited out of the shadows. And that's what John is
propounding.
And
that's what
propounding.
We have right now, isn't
that is
it?
Exactly
a two-tier?
Correct.
Well, the answer is we've been told that they're for decades now that they were going to secure the border.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, we don't believe them. And so if you're going to grant lawful status to people without proof that you secured the border, we're just back to where we are again, where you grant a lawful status to people and the border still isn't secured. Vince, you and I can disagree with that. That's what politics are about. I'm all for bringing these people out of the shadows. But the government has to produce something. The government has to secure that border. Otherwise, all you're going to get is we're going to legalize another 12 million people, and the border still isn't going to be secured, and we're back to where we were before. Now, you're going to say, well, but we'll secure the border later. The problem with that is they've been telling us for decades they were going to secure the border, and it still isn't secured. Why the heck should we believe them?
All right. We're going to take a break right here, Vince, and then you will be first when we come back after the break. Vince Rabago and John Munger on the Monday Political Face-Off. And that is coming up right after this. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Immerse yourself in the wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Viasphere 2 at a 36% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass will be available for a limited time and is brought to you in partnership with UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit these science wonders today with the new UA SciPass.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. Our commentators, Vince Robigo and John Munger, with us in studio. And the Monday Political Face-Off, thanks again to Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Any kind of framing needs, got some great art as well in there. And of course, Moe will come out to your home, measure everything, and make sure it's all taken care of. And haven't had a complaint yet about Moe. They do great work. Vince, you are up before the break. Go ahead and respond to John. And for those folks who are joining us, we're talking about immigration reform back on the front burner. You actually were back in D.C. On behalf of immigration reform a couple of months ago.
Yeah, a couple months ago, went back on behalf of the Southern Border Communities Coalition, pushing for responsible immigration reform that reflects the communities that are actually on the border, rather than just political, you know, talking heads or, you know, people that have never lived on the border, understand
which you have.
Yeah, born and raised seven blocks from the border in Cochise County. Lived there my whole life, then went off to college, of course, and still have family down there. My father still lives in the same family home. And so long ties to Cochise County, and pretty much lived on the border or near the border my entire life there in San Diego, not very far from the border as well. And then, of course, Tucson, we're less than 100 miles away from the border. But the issue here is that you have over the past probably 8 years, 10 years, you have Arizona becoming the hot zone for what everyone recognizes, let's just call it for what it is, anti-immigrant, anti-Hispanic fervor, stoked by the folks of the like of Russell Pierce and others. You have militiamen, you know, out there, like JT Reddy ended up becoming a baby killer before he killed his family and himself. You have a radical fringe right that has pushed the issue to conflate both these anti-immigrant views along with this whole issue of secure the border against drug, czars and all that sort of thing. Conflating the issues, making this a very fear-based issue, not dealing with the realities of the system, which is what this is a major component of trying to fix the system for people that are coming across unlawfully, that are trying to build a better life and make America their home. The reality is, when you have to wait decades to become a citizen, then the system is broken. And so here, when we're trying to talk about reforming a system, trying to bring these 11 million people out of the shadows, and then on the other side of the coin, you have people trying to say, oh, this is about welfare and drug dealing criminals and beheadings in the desert, like our good governor falsely claimed, you know. So you have the height, the zenith of xenophobia that clouds the issues so that you can't have a rational debate. And then all that they're using is the issue, not everyone, but using the issue of security first, security first, security first as a mantra, when that's really
let me respond in a couple of ways. First of all, Vince, you're claiming that everybody who supports, that the mainstream people who support border security are somehow racist and xenophobes.
That's not what I said. I'm explaining the background of the state of Arizona and what has happened. You can't deny that.
Let me finish, Vince. We're not racists or xenophobes. I have a favorite saying. Don't presume I share your prejudices. If you're prejudiced or you're a xenophobe, don't presume I share that. I want the border secured. I want it secured for national purposes and national security purposes. And you cannot separate the fact that a certain percentage of people who are coming across an unsecured border are terrorists. And
What facts do you have to back that up, John? You just said a certain percentage of people coming across our border are terrorists.
It doesn't have to be.
That kind of inflammatory statement is exactly what I'm talking about.
Any national security person will tell you that that is happening. We don't know the numbers, but it is happening. And anybody, look, Vince, if you don't think.
Look at 9/11, John.
Vince, let me finish.
Go ahead.
If you don't think that it's an issue of people being able to come across the border potentially with suitcase bombs and anything else, then I think you're naive. But my point is that we don't know what's happening across the border, coming across the border, because we don't have adequate border security. If you don't think that's important, fine. But you can't justify foregoing border security on the basis that a large number of people coming across simply want to get a job. What we're trying to solve is that problem. But you cannot continue the system of giving another large group of people lawful status and then turning around and telling us that someday you'll secure the border. You've been telling us that since 1984, and you haven't done it. I don't believe it.
Are you talking about Ronald Reagan?
Every administration since that time, including Ronald Reagan, did not secure the border.
Okay, then why are you saying you as if this is Democrat?
You're trying to make
a Democrat Republican.
That is your program. That is what the Democrats are offering, is more of the same. And I don't trust the government. Second reason I don't trust the government is because President Obama has been so bad about enforcing only those portions of the law that he feels like enforcing. And I don't believe that he will ever secure the border unless we hold his feet to the fire and force him to secure the border.
Actually, if you want to talk about enforcing the law, President George W. Bush signed off on more exceptions using the presidential exception. No, you want to make this about presidents and President Obama.
Let me respond
to what you just said. You just said, I don't trust President Obama because he only enforces those sections of the law that he wants to. The reality is, if you look at the record, the President Bush actually signed more exceptions to following federal law.
I don't care.
Well, that's it. You don't care about the facts.
I'm just explaining to you why I'm talking about today.
Let me finish.
You had your time, guys.
You had your time. The prior president of the United States refused to follow federal law more than President Obama, and you just don't care. So let me address his immigration point. The reality is I'd be the first to tell you, having grown and being raised on the border, we have every right to enforce our border. This is not about terrorism. The 9/11 terrorists all came lawfully to this country and then overstayed their visas. This is not about that. But what they seek to make it about that is to then stoke the fires of fear and xenophobia, when it's not about that. If we had a system of regularization, bring these people out of the shadows, had a system that worked, then you wouldn't have to worry about spending all this inordinate amounts of money that we know isn't going to work. Let's have metrics. Let's deal with people respectfully and humanely and not seek to sort of lump in people looking for a better life with terrorists.
I'm all for metrics. Metrics imply that you're first going to secure the border and have a metric that works. What you're telling me is
it can be done at the same time, John.
Well, I'm telling you, I don't believe the government. I don't care whether they're Republicans or Democrats. We're dealing with the current Democratic bill out of the Senate right now, which is just more of the same.
You don't trust them.
I don't trust the government to secure the border. They haven't secured it for 30 years, and I'm not prepared
to presume that there are no national security issues coming across the border, and I think you're naive if you don't understand
that. All right, John Munger and Vince Robigo, thank you both very much. Hope you have a great week, both of you.
You too.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture hanging and framing services. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Coming up next, we will speak with Randy Sereglio of the Center for Biological Diversity about the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act. That's next.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. 26 young men who claim they were victims of child sexual abuse at the hands of former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky will be sharing an almost $60 million. That's how much money the school says it is agreeing to give the men in settlements of their claims. Federal judge in Austin has declared that abortion restrictions in Texas are unconstitutional. The judge has blocked enforcement of that law, which had been scheduled to take effect tomorrow. Michigan's governor has been testifying in court today about why he authorized the city of Detroit to file for bankruptcy. Britain's prime minister threatening to take action against the Guardian newspaper for its disclosures of American intelligence materials. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 2 points, while the NASDAQ is down 6. More details at srnnews.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right, you get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th. The greatest journey you'll ever find. After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon. And this portion of the program brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, walk through life as it was in the 12th century at the Gila Cliff Dwellings just north of Silver City, with its rich Western history, galleries and museums, including the finest collection of Mimbrace pottery in the world at Western New Mexico University in Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Wilderness Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org, their fine website. Randy Seriglio from the Center for Biological Diversity joins me now. Randy is the Southwest Conservation Advocate. Randy, good to see you, first of all.
You too, Bill.
Wasn't Silver City playing a real prominent part of the past of the center?
Yeah, that's our over there in that neck of the woods is our birthplace. Yeah. The center began with some people who were doing surveys for an endangered species over there, a Mexican spotted owl, and you know, they saw trees right in the middle of this owl's habitat that were marked for cutting, and they said, "Hey, wait a minute, isn't this illegal?" You know, under the Endangered Species Act, and they realized that any citizen can hold their government accountable and enforce that law, and that's really how the center started.
Well, the Endangered Species Act turned 40 years old this year, as you know, Randy, and of course the debate surrounding it continues. The act was one of dozens of environmental laws passed in the 1970s and signed by former President Richard Nixon. Its purpose was to protect, and is to protect, species from going extinct due to human causes. It passed 99-1 in the Senate. How do you think we've done in that 40 years?
You know, the Endangered Species Act is the most powerful law in the world for protecting species that are on the verge of extinction. And it's actually probably the most effective environmental law that we've ever passed in the U.S. as well. 1,400 species have been protected under the act. And in the whole 40 years, only 10 species have gone extinct while they had that protection. And as a matter of fact, 8 of those were probably extinct before they received protection, but it wasn't confirmed until after they were listed. So, you know, even much greater than 99% success rate in preventing extinction. But I would add more importantly that the act is really about recovery. And it's about getting these species back to stable ground and getting them off the endangered species list, which is what happened with the bald eel, icon of our nation. You know, these are species that took decades and sometimes centuries to get into trouble. And so it does take some time to get out. But we did a major study more than 90% of the species that we looked at are stable or improving populations, and about 80% are on target for recovery goals.
That is good news. Randy, we're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. David is with us. David, you're with Randy Seriglio of the Center for Biological Diversity.
Yes. My opinion is this. A lot of people on our local talk show, like John Jess's show, they attack the Center for Biological Diversity and they say, oh, it's cost that taxpayer so much money to get these species listed. But I'll tell you one thing, okay? Either we pay a little now, get the pygmy owl relisted, shovel-nosed snake, the desert tortoise, the little flycatcher, lesser-nosed bat, the desert tortoise, the pineapple cactus in the Tucson Basin, or if we don't, when these developers come and they scrape all the desert, they put up tens and tens of thousands of tract housing developments, and then we pay through the nose for all these capital improvements like bigger roads, more schools, more fire and police protection, water, flood control, and everything else. And I'll tell you, because the special interests that want growth and urban sprawl, they've been too successful here. They defeated the growth management in 2000, then they came back and defeated Conserving Arizona's Future, then they came back and they got Proposition 207 passed, which changed the law in Arizona, so if a developer wants to come in and put in a monster housing development, it's going to burden the taxpayers. Now, and if the local government says no, now they can sue the local government. It gets worse. Then they delist the pygmy owl. I live right in the middle of the pygmy owl habitat.
So, David, I take it you're a very big advocate for the Endangered Species Act.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but we're going to have to run.
I hope I can get for relief on my taxes. My property taxes have gone from $1,500
okay.
to $5,000 to pay the bill for the sprawl.
Let's let Randy comment. Go
ahead. That's an interesting perspective, and it even goes more broadly and deeply than that. These wildlife species are a huge part of our local economy. Many people come here to Arizona for the chance to see a jaguar in the wild.
And birders come.
Birders from
all over the world.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is a global biodiversity hotspot that we live in the Sky Island region of southern Arizona. It's absolutely beautiful, and the diversity of wildlife is a huge part of that.
And now we've got the jaguar.
We do. We have a very brave jaguar that is wandering our mountain ranges and is thriving, actually. Has been photographed repeatedly in the Rosemont area of the Santa Rita Mountains over the past year, and looks very healthy and strong, and it's just fantastic to have that animal back in the United States.
That now, what about the characterization through the Endangered Species Act for that animal? Is it an endangered animal?
Yes, the Center for Biological Diversity pursued litigation for about 15 years to get the jaguar the protection it needs to recover in the United States. And right now, as a matter of fact, the Fish and Wildlife Service is finalizing what's called a critical habitat proposal to ensure that the key areas that the jaguar needs to survive are protected and not destroyed. That is very compatible with people visiting those areas and recreating and having the chance to see tracks or run into a jaguar, which is, pretty much a long shot. But just knowing that it's there makes it that much more thrilling.
Would you say, Randy, that part of the controversy surrounding the Endangered Species Act is whether humans really understand what must be done in order to save these animals?
Yeah, and a lot of times there's this false perception that the Endangered Species Act is some sort of deal breaker, like you can't hike anymore in the wilderness, or you can't go birding or do any of these other things. But you can. It just, if you have something like an open pit copper mine that's going to obliterate thousands of acres of public land that the jaguar needs to survive and important wildlife corridors that it needs to move around, well, sure, now that's a problem. That's a huge conflict. But most of the individual human activities that take place on our public lands are not in conflict.
All right, back to the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew has a question or comment for Randy Seriglio of the Center for Biological Diversity. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, Randy, I was hoping that you might comment on how immigration is actually affecting the wildlife issue, especially on the border region. And I would posit this, and you can agree or disagree. I believe that comprehensive immigration reform would be a positive net benefit to protecting the environment, especially the border regions, because if we could just, like also with national security, I think it would be a positive, because if you do comprehensive immigration reform first, you basically resolve an issue and there are less people that feel the need to go further and further away from safe areas of crossing and so forth, because they know that there's a possibility of entering legally. I'll just leave it to you. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
I would follow up by saying that I like the way you posited that. I agree that we need a rational system for managing immigrant labor and getting undocumented people to come through the system again, where they're safer, where they're not doing environmental damage in the borderlands. And the policy that we have now, which is based entirely on border security enforcement, that in itself does a tremendous amount of damage to the borderlands. And of course, the border wall threatens to stop jaguars from moving back and forth across the border, and that would be a disaster.
Well, I think there is some real success here. You said 1,400 animal species have been have not gone extinct since in the 40 years. But what are some of the some marquee animals that we would recognize that certainly we need to pay attention to right now?
Yeah, boy, right here in southern Arizona is one of the rarest plants in the world. The Coleman's coral root is a beautiful orchid that grows in our mid-elevation oak juniper woodlands in the Skylands and the Santa Ritas. That one is being threatened by the Rosemont Copper Mine. The core population of that plant is right in the footprint of the proposed mine, so it's quite likely that that plant could go extinct.
The Mexican gray wolf, the reintroduction has really been a mixed, has yielded mixed results.
Yeah, and I think part of that is that our federal government has not been fully committed to that recovery. For a lot of species, the conflict level is kind of low, and you have excellent biologists and people working on the ground for fish and wildlife who know the species and know what it takes to help it recover. With the wolf, there's an awful lot of politics surrounding that and a lot of misinformation, a lot of propaganda in the media that's simply false. And I think that the political stumbling blocks have been the biggest problem there, not so much the science or whether or not the wolves can survive in the wild. Given the chance, I think they'll do just fine. But there's an awful lot of politics that get in the way with that issue.
How many of that original group are how many are still alive that were reintroduced up in northeastern Arizona?
Right now,
I forget how many years ago. I remember the story, but it seems like it's at least 10 years.
Yeah, it's mid-90s was when the reintroduction occurred.
I
think it was 97, 98, but or maybe 96.
Mm-hmm.
But, they have struggled. Right now, there should be more than 100 wolves on the ground. But there's only about 75, and part of it is that the government has policies of removing wolves too often, and of course other people have shot the wolves illegally. Some people who just are totally opposed to this, they'll do whatever it takes to get rid of wolves, and I think part of the problem is not enforcing the law and holding those people accountable as well.
As far as Rosemont, right now we're just in kind of a waiting period right now?
Yeah, well, the Coronado National Forest backed off their artificial deadline of September 22nd and realized that was completely unrealistic and unfair. And now there's a new process that's going to begin. And of course, they were delayed by the government shutdown as well. And there's still work that needs to be done.
Pushed it back probably to spring, right?
Yeah. So right now, we're looking well into 2014 before any final decision from the Forest Service would come. And of course, that issue is just, to me, it's old news. Pretty soon, we can get on with more important things here in southern Arizona and get past this one.
And Randy, I do want to do a shout out to Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star in yesterday's Star. I thought Tim really had a good think piece on that everyone needs to decide for themselves whether or not the mining jobs, 450 or whatever it is, mining jobs, are worth it versus the long term. implications.
Yeah, I mean, the
environmental
impacts. Right, the long-term impacts of air pollution, water pollution, dwindling water supply, you know, disappearance of our wildlife and our beautiful open spaces are simply not worth it. And I commend Tim for looking at both sides of that issue and coming to the right conclusion.
Randy, thank you very much. And congratulations on this whole Endangered Species Act. I know you've been really instrumental in trying to save a lot of animals. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Interesting piece by Gabriella Rico in the Arizona Daily Star yesterday about cooperation between Arizona and Sonora. could spur economic recovery. She writes about logistics and how Tucson is positioned to be in a really good position to work with Mexico to really transform our local economy, which has been basically a university and military mix, and add in trade and clean manufacturing to the formula. Keith Rosenblum, Buckmaster Show contributor on the border, joining us now. Keith, how are you?
Hi, Bill.
I could
use some economic recovery, too. Go ahead.
You could use some economic recovery?
Yeah, I was thinking of Gabby's story and thinking I could use some
economic recovery. Yeah,
I'm not diversified enough.
Gabby's story, and it follows up our friend Linda Valdez, who had a piece in The Republic a couple of Sundays ago about land of opportunity, unrealized trade and tourism. Are we unrealized in trade and tourism with Mexico?
Yeah, we are. And I say that now at the benefit of 30 years of watching it. We're two societies that both suffer from the white map syndrome. The maps that are made in the U.S. have detail in, you know, little itty-bitty little places like Tumacacri and Carmen and Rio Rico and Patagonia. And then when you get to Mexico, there's this big white blob. And the maps that are made by Cruz Azul, or whatever the name of the firm is in Mexico, show places like Santa Cruz, Imuris, Cumeral, Magdalena, in great detail in Mexico. And then you get to the U.S. and there's this big white blob. So I think what's happened is the U.S. for a long time could grow just domestically. We were hungry, then we go exporting, but we go exporting to the Orient and Europe. And I think Mexico is really that land of opportunity today that we can have. And I actually think with the Daily Star, in terms of getting people talking or learning about one another, is a great project. Part of it is there's a linguistic factor. You know, are we able to pick up the phone and make a deal with somebody in Hermosillo? It used to be a lot more difficult. Now people in both societies speak both languages. There's a lot more harmonizing of tariffs, things like that. You got the National Law Center that looks at how do you make trade easier. And so I think the thesis here is correct. It is a land of opportunity. And the Port of Tucson, by the way, is I think demonstrating that as well. All of a sudden, rail in what appears to be the southwest of this entity is actually now rail in the center of an entity, or very close to it, when you put Mexico on the map.
Well, we've got to speed things up at the border, and it seems like some of the border agents take forever. Why don't they hustle more at the border?
I think part of it, I mean, I wonder the same thing, because I'm the victim of that. I'm the victim of that in my automobile, and I'm the victim of that as a pedestrian. I think number one, there's this strange thing about officer presence that says that we will not speed up. We're in control, and we do things at our pace, and you will be. There's a certain control, there's a certain personality control issue there in the first place. But beyond that, I think that we wind up eventually reaching this point of diminishing returns in our drug enforcement policy, in our immigration policies. We declare things like zero tolerance, and we wind up being held hostage to our own policies. So that, I mean, my view is let some marijuana cross in, let some other drugs cross in. I forget who it was. I think it was a Ted Koppel piece a while back in the Wall Street Journal that says, I'll take some more terrorism in exchange for having government protect me less from myself. It's a fascinating theory, and I share it. There's no reason for those weights. They could be, it's not a question of manpower either, regardless of what we're told. If you let cops be cops and don't shackle them and give them, you don't treat your grandma the same as you do some vato that's coming in a lowrider. If you give them some discretion, they can actually do their jobs.
Keith Rosenblum is with us. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we've got Jim Kelly with us. Jim, go ahead. You're with Keith Rosenblum.
Good afternoon, Keith. Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks
Hi.
For letting me on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that concerns me is I want Mexican trucking and American trucking operating at the same high standards. And And what I'm not seeing now, when I see the Mexican trucks on this side of the border dropping their tires all over the interstate and causing accidents, and American trucks are doing it too. But I just want to see high standards of regulation. Everybody talks about a secure border. I want a well-regulated border. And I want that regulation to facilitate good, orderly transportation and import and export of goods. So okay. That's my comment.
All right. Go ahead, Keith.
When any truck comes in, when any car comes in to the United States, it falls under the auspices of about 10 different authorities. Your car, any freight vehicle, you have the Arizona Department of Transportation, you have the Arizona the entities. I see the checks going back way. I agree that there needs to be uniform enforcement. I disagree on the caliber or the quality of the vehicles that are coming across. The Mexicans have sunk in. A lot of these vehicles that are coming into the U.S. Are brand new as well. And if you're running a trucking company, you can ill afford to have any tire fall off. The issue here is for the Arizona Department of Public Safety, for Nogales PD, for Sahuarita PD, for Santa Cruz County Sheriffs. All those people are empowered to enforce different laws.
Keith, going to have to go.
Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
Thank you. We're going to have to wrap it up, Keith. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm glad to have been able to contribute.
Thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum, our contributor on the border on the Buckmaster Show, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Big shout out to you. All of our guests get a bottle of Culligan when they come in. They really like it. John C. Scott, 3 to 5 this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.